The mission of John the Baptist prepared the Jews to receive their Messiah. He did this with a call to repentance. And so we begin in the Gospel of Matthew in chapter 3, starting in verse 1. In those days came John the Baptist, preaching in the wilderness of Judea, verse 2, and saying, "Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." Verse 3, "For this is he that was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, The voice of one crying in the wilderness, Prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his paths straight." Just as John prepared men to receive the Lord, repentance prepares a man's heart to believe the gospel. We must repent and believe. Mark chapter 1, verses 14 and 15. Now after that John was put in prison, Jesus came into Galilee, preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God, verse 15, and saying, "The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel." John preached it, Jesus preached it, and this is the gospel that the apostles preached after the day of Pentecost. In the book of Acts, chapter 3, verse 19, Peter said, "Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord." We must repent and believe. This has always been the case, even though sometimes in the Bible, the call to repentance is not stated directly. For example, Romans chapter 10, verse 9. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Repentance is not directly mentioned in this verse, but you cannot truly confess that Jesus is the Lord of your life until you've repented of the sin of being your own Lord. As Jesus said in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 6, verse 46, "And why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say?" Repentance rejects what is false, but goes no further. Faith toward God embraces what is true. We turn from our dead works to serve the living and true God. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 9, Paul praised the church for their living works that showed they had repented and believed. Paul said, "For they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God." Faith toward God is the second principle in the doctrine of Christ. It is the fulfillment of what began with repentance from dead works. Now, before I go any further, I want to reinforce two things. One, the first principle of the doctrine of Christ is not repentance. It is repentance from dead works. And two, the second principle of the doctrine of Christ is not faith. It is faith toward God. Faith that has been directed to God. Far too much has been said about the so-called power of faith. Just because you believe something will happen does not make it happen. If that were the case, a man's faith in his idols would actually make those idols come alive. Psalm 115, verses 4 through 8. "Their idols are silver and gold, the work of men's hands." Verse 5, "They have mouths, but they speak not. Eyes have they, but they see not." Verse 6, "They have ears, but they hear not. Noses have they, but they smell not." Verse 7, "They have hands, but they handle not. Feet have they, but they walk not. Neither speak they through their throat." Verse 8, "They that make them are like unto them. So is everyone that trusteth in them." All the faith in the world cannot change a lie into truth. Just the same, if the whole world denies the truth of God, that does not make it untrue. This is what Paul said in the book of Romans, chapter 3, verses 3 and 4. For what if some did not believe? Shall their unbelief make the faith of God without effect? Verse 4, God forbid. Yea, let God be true, but every man a liar. How did the apostles respond when the women told them that the tomb of Jesus was empty? Luke chapter 24, verse 11 says, And their words seemed to them as idle tales, and they believed them not. There are many people living today who believe that the resurrection of Jesus is only an idle tale. But all the unbelief in the world cannot change the truth. What a man believes will govern his opinion, it will govern his behavior, but it does not determine what is true. God is true, even if no one believes. It's not having faith that matters. What matters is where we put our faith, the object of our faith. We turn away from idols, whether those idols are the fabrications of our hands or of our minds, and turn our faith toward God. Having once put our faith in the wisdom of men, we turn our faith toward the power of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 5 tells us that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Having once put our faith in the things we see, we turn our faith towards the things we cannot see. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 18. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Having once put our faith in our own works of righteousness, we turn our faith towards the righteousness of God, which comes through faith in Christ. Philippians chapter 3, verse 9. And be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 12, that now we see through a glass darkly. There is so much about God that we do not know. As we read in the book of Job, chapter 36, verse 26, Behold, God is great, and we know him not, neither can the number of his years be searched out. But even the little we know about God tells us it would be foolish to put our faith anywhere else. Unlike any other, our God is faithful. Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 9. Know therefore that the Lord thy God, he is God, the faithful God, which keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love him and keep his commandments to 1,000 generations. Our God has no equal. Exodus chapter 15, verse 11. Who is like unto thee, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like thee, glorious in holiness, fearful in praises, doing wonders? And unlike people who love you one minute, despise you the next, God is steadfast in his good will toward man. James chapter 1, verse 17. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. The end of the thing is this: no one on earth will ever love you as much as the Lord loves you. 1 John chapter 4, verse 16. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. That's why we put our faith in God, as we read in the book of Psalms, chapter 36, verse 7. How excellent is thy loving kindness, O God! Therefore, the children of men put their trust under the shadow of thy wings.